you enjoy your statehood holiday weekend? Well, it's throwback time. You may have caught snippets of music from the Woodstock Festival over the weekend, as we also marked the 50th anniversary of the Hippie Culture Concert in upstate New York. We decided to ease into our manic Monday start of the week by stretching out the weekend vibe. We begin with conversations around memories of Woodstock from Hawaii residents who were there in 1969. Some Kauai residents of Taylor Camp, the hippie camp, recall the time. Andy Parks was in the Taylor Camp band, who had connections with the band The Rascals. Remember them? Parks was 17 years old and recalled the wild and crazy event where the music and the drugs flowed freely.
When I was walking, my girlfriend had gone talked to other people, came back and handed me a pill and said, "Oh, it's acid. Take some." And I said, "All right, sure." And I took it, and as soon as I ate it, she said, "Oh, well, that's," he said it was four-way. I'm not sure what that means. So I kind of started off with that, and all weekend people were just giving me acid, and I said, "Sure." Actually, you know, they have they had years ago in the movie, they had a guy making announcements, "Oh, you know, don't take the brown acid," or whatever it was. And I knew that what happened was, they said, at one point, Wavy Gravy got up there and said, "If you took the green acid, go directly to the medical tent." And somebody had just given me some green acid, and I ran over there to the medical tent, and I was totally freaked out. And I went, "I took the green acid. What am I going to do? What should I do?" And he went, "Well, do you feel okay?" And I went, "Yeah, I feel great." "But you said, come over here." He said, "Well, if you feel okay, never mind." I was so high on Saturday night when The Who was playing, I could hear them, but I could not get up. I was lying there in the mud, and I kind of became the part of the earth and kind of hovered above everything. That was my one memory of being there but not being there.
Another Kauai resident, Charles Ressler, recalled Woodstock as a watershed event for the country.
I was there for, you know, the main part. I was there for the beginning. I was there when it rained like hell, you know, and I was there and, you know, listened to the great music, you know, all weekend. You know, the media coverage that we've had this past week is, I knew it was going to come up because 50 years is always 50 years, but, you know, it was a really dividing line in the culture of America. Now, obviously, I don't speak for, you know, all segments, you know, the South, the Midwest, et cetera. But for a lot of us in the East and the West Coast, the East Coast, and even the Midwest, it was a transition from, you know, the old culture of Ozzie and Harriet to a new, more wide open, expansive culture filled with more possibilities. And I think Woodstock was that dividing line. Because you have to remember, after that, they had the Altamont Festival, and which was a disaster. Someone was killed, actually. And that was, oh, it's the end of the Aquarian Age. Well, yes and no. It was a short Aquarian Age. You know, that Woodstock was really a countercultural event, an anti-war event, a drug use event. And it changed the culture in that way, you know, when you think about it.
And so as you thought about your memories this weekend, I guess, what are you left with?
I have mixed feelings. You know, on a personal level, being there wasn't this ecstatic experience all the time that you even saw in the movie itself. You know, it was dirty and we didn't have enough food. The toilets were disgusting, of course. But the music was great, and that's why we were there. And to see the gathering of groups like this, that's the first time that this has happened. And we all knew it. That's why we bought the tickets. That's why, you know, the gates were overrun. There had never been a collection of groups, probably in history, of any form of music like this, and for over such a time period. I don't recall any festivals up until that point being over a day. and the ability for people to accommodate and get along. We saw no violence. There were all kinds of people there. People helped each other out. And, you know, I mean, they're bragging from the stage. We're the second largest city in the state now. And, you know, everything's great, except for the brown acid, which, of course, scared everybody. What kind is he talking about? Just the takeaway was a transition.
And do you have a favorite song from that festival?
I have a favorite performance, and that was the Santana performance. Because it was unexpected. You know, most of many of the other groups were well-known, but Bill Graham, the famous impresario from San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury District, came out with the announcement, oh, this next group, I know most of you probably haven't heard them. I don't think they had an album out by then. But they're really rocking the house in the Bay Area. You know, you got to give them a listen. And they came out and tore it up.
And Kailua resident Kevin Jordan joked he got Alexa to play Woodstock music all weekend to reminisce about an adventure he had with his little brother and their girlfriends 50 years ago. He was 19.
The music was new to me, and it was, I mean, I had heard of some of the groups before, but many of them I had not. And so I was really captivated by the music, and I was overwhelmed by the size of the crowd and the apparent harmonious behavior of everyone. And one of the things that struck me was that the Army, U.S. Army, and it could very well have been a New York National Guard, but they were flying constantly. They were flying helicopters in, delivering water and medevacing people who, you know, had various medical problems. And I was very impressed by how the Army handled that, because it was, you know, it was not something that was planned. It was a crisis. It was the middle of August, and there was no water. And they had to basically supply water to, you know, 500,000 people over several days. It was really extraordinary. And that impressed me. And the fact that you know, there were no fights or riots or anything of that nature, it did impress me at the time. But actually, when I look back, I realize how extraordinary that was, because I don't think we would have that type of benign environment today, where 500,000 young people to get together to listen to music. I mean, it would be, you know, I just don't think it could happen again today.
Well, it was a peace culture, you know, make love, not war.
In a sense, it was. And that's why my reaction to the Army, you know, sticks with me, because I thought they did an extraordinary job. And, I had a vague inkling that, you know, things could go south in a hurry if there was no water or food. And, you know, the army guys were taking care of that.
And you ended up having a career in the military.
I did. I of course, at that time, the draft was quite very much in effect. Everybody was, you know, thinking about what they would do should the college deferments end and so on. But anyway, I chose to serve in the Marine Corps as a commissioned officer shortly after graduation. Just before I retired from the Marine Corps, I was assigned to Pacific Command, and I was a colonel at that time. And I was in a meeting with a number of young officers, you know, majors. One of them was talking about the rock group Queen. And I said, Queen, who are they? So this Air Force major says, Colonel, how is it possible that someone in this day and age could not have heard of Queen? And I said, well, Major, I think it has something to do with the fact that, you know, after I went to Woodstock and was exposed to the music there. I haven't heard anything since that was anywhere near the equal. And he says, "You went to Woodstock." And he says, "Colonel, I take back what I said. You have rock cool forever."
Rock cool forever. That's what Jordan says Woodstock was all about. It was groovy. And we end with the concert promoter's viewpoint. Leroy Jenkins is with Waikiki's production partners. He was a DJ at K-Poi in 1969. He recalled his mentors, Tom Moffat and Ken Rosine, and how the spirit of Woodstock lived on in the concerts in Diamond Head Crater.
Hawaii was happening. It was definitely a place to be. I'm truly honored to actually be part of history back then in Hawaii. But Woodstock, oh my gosh. What memories they were. I mean, our first Diamond Head Crater, we started at the sunrise. We had Santana play late. I think we only had like 14, 15,000 people. It went on for years, but I think it lost its luster because in the beginning, it was free. I remember standing on stage and seeing people climb over the top, and they were coming through the tunnels, so it was hard to keep account, but over the years, it turned into a money event. I think, if I remember correctly, the Department of Land and Natural Resources said, "That's it." So it grew, and I know the size of the crowd grew. We would never get to the size of a Woodstock, but I think it probably got up to about 75 or 80,000 people before it ended.
Rock cool history from Woodstock to our own crater concerts. The first K-Poi FM Sunshine Festival in Diamond Head Crater was held as a way to promote the new radio format of K-Poi FM. About 10,000 people attended this free event and got to enjoy a day of music, food, arts, and crafts.